I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Helving.
And I'm Ken Rudin. Ron, how could you be so calm? Aren't you outraged?
You know, Ken, this is how I am when I am beside myself.
Well, at least you're not alone.
I am unspeakably outraged.
Are you going to give back 50% of your It's All Politics bonus?
Absolutely. In fact, you can have all of my It's All Politics
See,
bonus.
50% times zero
I share the anger of the American people. I must say I'm having a rare populist moment, Ken. It's not usual for me to sympathize with the relatively irrational and not very well thought through reaction that we're seeing from so many people. But I'm feeling that same emotion very strongly.
Did the Obama administration miscalculate that outrage? Because it seems like President Obama, before he went to California this week, tried to co-opt it in a way.
There are so many definitions at work here. What is really a bonus? What is a retention payment? All that kind of stuff. And also, what is the Obama administration? Clearly, the Federal Reserve Board staff knew about these retention payments, these large amounts of money, which were going to the very people who did the extraordinary cowboy, buccaneer-like activity in the markets that brought AIG down, and with it, the security of the entire global financial system.
It seemed to me that the first sign of this outrage, I think, was maybe during the Daschle or even the Geithner nominations. Why do we poor suckers have to pay taxes when these guys don't? Of course, that's simplistic.
But
that was a big populist outrage. And then it got so overwhelming. The political question I ask you, Ron Elving, is politically, how does the Obama administration deal with it?
It is decided that what they have to do is get out in front of it. They have to have Barack Obama out there saying he is totally angry, he is totally outraged.
He inherited this mess.
And that he inherited this mess. All right, so the contracts were apparently signed a year ago. They were signed off on perhaps by people who were in the Fed and the Treasury Department 6 months ago while
like
we're
Tim
still
Geithner?
In Bush days.
Like Tim
but
Geithner?
Apparently, well, Tim Geithner insists he did not know about this latest outlay until March 10th. But people inside of Ben Bernanke's Fed, who are not part of the Obama administration, they apparently knew. They're supposed to be working with Tim Geithner and his people. It's hard to believe they didn't know a little sooner. And then, of course, when they did find out, why didn't we find out on March 10th from Tim Geithner? I just learned this today, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to do everything we can to prevent this from happening and not say, well, you know, they've got a contract, and contracts can't be abrogated. That sounded very apologetic.
Didn't they abrogate?
They were apologists for this whole business.
What about all the workers for the auto plants? I mean, weren't all their contracts renegotiated and redrawn?
That's right, and if their companies were to go bankrupt, of course, they would be out all that they're owed under their contracts. So apparently some contracts are more sacrosanct than others, perhaps that feeds a certain populist anger. I'm really trying to get this under control.
The Washington reaction usually is, who do we throw overboard? Tim Geithner's name has come up, of course. Edward Liddy's name has come up.
Your name has come up.
Has it?
Yeah.
So does somebody pay the ultimate price, or is it just outrage that there's no... I mean, ultimately, you need something to happen for all your anger and outrage to have a result. And what is that result?
Well, I suspect one person who would be a very likely candidate, fairly or not fairly, would be Tim Geithner. He's the bridge between...
President Obama said, absolutely, I've...
I understand.
I think he said, I have 1,000%...
I think he said, I'm behind him 1,000%.
With Tom Eagleton.
But he is the one guy who was around back in September, working at the time for Hank Paulson, who was then the Treasury Secretary. And he was part of all of this then. And he has been, in some sense or another, the guy who was supposed to have the most knowledge of what was going on with the TARP funds ever since. So even if he was deceived or he was not given the right information, and even if he is understaffed, Tim Geithner is possibly victim one. Another person I'd put up as a very likely victim of all of this, Christopher Dodd, senator from Connecticut.
Well, that's very interesting because, first of all, he has received more money from AIG than any other lawmaker. Of course, AIG is in Connecticut. It's his home state, but got more money from AIG. Chris Dodd has also been on the defensive over his so-called sweetheart mortgage deal with Countrywide Financial.
And we should mention Chris Dodd is the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee.
That's right.
And then the latest thing, of course, is we're learning that in negotiations between the House and Senate, in legislation that affected what AIG could do and not do in compensating their executives, he seems to have spoken up.
Chris Dodd.
He seems Chris Dodd to have spoken up and effectuated things in the legislation that may have made this possible. It's still all a little bit murky.
After having first denied any involvement in this at all. And so he has not had any problem winning, he was elected in 1980, replacing... Abe Ribicoff in 1980. Yes. So he's elected five times since then, not had any problem. And matter of fact, he has incurred a major challenger so far. Anyway, Rob Simmons, former congressman, former CIA agent, has announced his candidacy. The Republican
running it openly.
It's not even covertly, right? That's exactly right. And the latest poll had Rob Simmons 43-42 over Chris Dodd. And you know the election is going to be in March in 2009. No, it's not. That's why I don't think much of this poll. But it just shows that the Democrats are very nervous about Chris Dodd's seat, because if anybody's going to be the outlet of populist anger, it could very well be somebody like Chris Dodd in Connecticut.
Now, of course, at the same time, Congress is scrambling, as it does best, to try to divert all this rage away from themselves. The House of Representatives took up a bill to tax away, essentially, the bonuses as they were received, so that they would receive a bonus and a bill for, 90% or something along the lines of 90% of the value of that bonus, so that it would be recouped by the taxpayer. What would you say as a constitutional scholar, Mr. Rudin?
I would say this is unbelievably ridiculous. The thought of raising taxes to make a political point is, I mean, there are a lot of reasons.
Taxes on about 400 people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really just comical. Even Charlie Rangel, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, even though this is ostensibly his bill, I mean, he's also argued from the beginning that you just can't raise taxes just to make a political point.
Well, he is carrying the bill as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, but he has also been letting it be known that he can see the flaws here and that this is not going to survive a court test.
He can't even see the ceilings.
All right, but can it fly in the Senate? Will the Republicans organize against it in the Senate and say, look, we all know this isn't going to pass muster in the courts?
I'm thinking that it doesn't matter whether it passed muster in the courts or not. Let's just go on record saying we're outraged and we're going to all vote for it. And, of course, when it gets sent back by the court saying this is just patently ridiculous, then they say, okay, well, you know, we tried.
Okay. It's an ill wind that does not blow good for anyone. Someone's going to benefit from all this political energy that's flowing in the Capitol and all around the country. And I'm thinking of somebody who is not in the nation's capital.
You mean somebody in New York?
Andrew Cuomo.
The state attorney general, whose predecessor,
Elliot Spitzer,
was attorney general, took down then the AIG chairman en route to uncovering Wall Street shenanigans, en route to becoming governor of New York.
Too bad Andrew Cuomo's not interested in being governor of New
York. What Andrew Cuomo has done, and I think Elliot Spitzer did too, there was this outrage, using that word again, in New York about Wall Street excess. So that's going to be very interesting if he can ride this outrage to the governorship. David Paterson, very weak, shall we say, a governor by accident, because that same Elliot Spitzer
suddenly left the scene, courtesy of a prostitution scandal. Right. But now we're diverting ourselves to talking about more substantive things. So you're agreeing with me that this could be a real break for Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, Cuomo knows how to touch on these issues that affect a lot of people. And he's not had the greatest record. He ran for governor 8 years ago and then dropped out at the last second when he was losing in the primary.
He didn't have a wind at his back.
No, he didn't. You're absolutely
right. And he has spotted a very strong wind indeed, and he's getting it behind him.
So, and the last father and son, if Andrew Cuomo runs for governor, and his father, Mario Cuomo, was governor, they could be the next Roosevelt family, because Franklin Roosevelt was elected governor of New York in 1928, and FDR Jr., who was named after that highway in New York, that drive, the FDR Drive, he ran
But he was not successful.
No, but he ran twice in 54
years.
He did run.
Okay, that much we've established, and it's really important. Now, here's another politician that we care about whether or not he's going up or going down, and that's President Barack Obama. What do you say, Ken? Arrow up, arrow down, because of AIG.
Well, not just because of AIG, but because of everything. Oh, the whole backlash and the fact that the debt is increasing and the spending, there's no sign of end in sight. I saw a CBS poll this week. Last week, he was 63% approval. This week, it's 62%.
My God.
I know. It's over.
Well,
honeymoon is over.
Saw a Washington Post headline this week that says, scandal over bonuses depletes.
Yes.
His
political capital.
Obama's political capital.
Yeah.
Well, all right. He has been, nonetheless, nicked. And several polls have shown more than just a 1% or 2% decrease. And some have actually shown him dropping below 60% for the first time since January 20th, when he became president and had a big boost from a successful inauguration. Also, though, there are other things going on here. There's a sense that he has moved away from his centrist, I'm on top of all of this, I want to be the president of all the people, and moved more hard left, partly because he didn't get much response from the Republicans, and partly because
he got some response. He got response from the Republicans.
They lent him a hand,
yes.
But really only
one fifth of the fingers was used.
One fifth of it. So what we're saying is he has moved leftward. That's costing him a little bit among independents. But at the same time, maybe it helps him marshal support for his program and organize those people in Congress who are his people, in other words, the Democrats.
And not only the people in Congress, but the people on his mailing list. I mean, he's gone to the well. It's as if the campaign has not ended. Did you notice when President Obama was going to California this week, Wednesday, when he spoke to the press before he left, he said, well, I'm going out to talk to the voters.
Yeah.
The voters.
What? There's an election? Yeah. No, he went to a town hall meeting, kind of a campaign-style event in Costa Mesa, and he's making some other hits of that nature. And at the same time, there's a group that's got a ringing name, Organizing for America. It's run by a young man I believe you remember, David Plouffe. What was the last thing David Plouffe did?
He sung that song, Plouffe the Magic Dragon.
That's right. But before that, he also had a day job, and that was working for...
Barack Obama.
Got him elected...
President of the United States.
Just last fall.
Right.
So that's a guy who has shown some degree of skill, expertise at grassroots organizing. And he's got this new organization consisting of all of Obama's volunteers from 2008. And they call themselves Organizing for America. And they're making phone calls and they're on the Internet. And they're actually going door to door.
They're going door to door to sell the Obama budget plan.
That's why I'm asking you to head outside this Saturday to knock on some doors, talk to some neighbors, and let people know how important this budget is to our future.
At the same time that the Congressional Budget Office is coming out and saying, $1.75 trillion deficit this year? No.
Ooh, it sounds like, trick or treat, doesn't
it? We're going up to $2 trillion. Yeah. $2 trillion, the CBO says. I don't believe we've ever had a $1 trillion deficit before.
I never have.
So, tough timing.
And not only that, look at the Republicans, too. Not that the Republicans were on board or close to coming on board anyway. Only three of them, you know, voted for the stimulus package. But looking at the backlash among the American people, let me just mention something. Jim Todisco, who is the Republican running in the New York 20th district for Kirsten Gillibrand's seat, for the longest time they kept saying, how would you vote on the stimulus package? And he didn't have an answer. Now that the polls are starting to show skepticism about the wide range of the Obama spending plan, he said, oh, I'll vote against it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's had a little time to think about it.
Yeah.
And now he's made up his mind.
But I'm wondering if, you know, for all the work that Obama ostensibly tried to do to bring Republicans on board, I'm wondering if this whole thing has blown up any possibility of getting any Republican cooperation.
Now, when you say this whole thing, are you talking about the AIG bonuses
more
and
than
rage
that.
Over that?
It's
are
more
you
than
talking
that.
About the $2 trillion estimate of this year's deficit?
Add it up.
Are you talking about the failure of Tim Geithner to convince people he really has a detailed plan to deal with the mortgage crisis?
D, all of the above, right.
Or it could be E. That's it for this week's Political Podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm Ron Elving, and I'm still outraged.
I'm Ken Rudin, and I'm still with you, Ron.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR.